Stories, give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, you can hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. You better start looking at those NFL schedules. You can see it on our site and all different news, because it's almost time for these fantasy football drafts. And, you know, Ray and I will get into that soon. Not today, but very soon, as, you know, people are requesting it on the emails, Ray, I got to tell you. So it's kind of cool. And also Twitter and Facebook, we're always interactive, and it's Ray and Tay Today. Ray, let them know how it's going to go.
Well, we have a lot to talk about. So we're going to take you around the world of sports with breaking news and events from the weekend, and we're going to go to golf, NASCAR, NHL, NFL, NBA, and then college football. We're going to get into it. We want this saga to end, but it won't. It never will. But we'll get into it. Baseball suspended 13 players today, and we'll spend most of our time talking about baseball, steroids, the drug era, how baseball should deal with it, how the players' union is changing. But we got a lot to talk about. So let's get into the world of sports other than baseball first and tell you what's happening in the world, and then we'll get into the breaking news of the day that everybody's talking about, 13 suspended players in baseball.
Yeah, well, listen, first off, congrats to the number one ranked golfer in the world. He destroys Bridgestone, led from the jump. I mean, killed the course, cruised home on Sunday. Minus 15 he shoots for the tournament. LT Gray, Tiger Woods, I mean, his fifth win of the year. He goes into the final major, the PGA, looking like he's hot, like, you know, like he could do something. So kudos to him, man. I mean, the guy is
incredible. Can you
believe
it's been 5 years, though, since he won his last major when he was playing on that bad foot and
I can, because of all he's been through, right? Physically, his personal life. I mean, he's had surgeries. The guy's been through a lot. So, you know, hey, I'm not surprised. But, you know, I kind of want him to get a major just to shut everybody up. But, you know, he's been the best golfer this year. So, I mean, really, what can critics say? You know what I mean?
Not much. I feel like in some of these sports, tennis and golf especially, it's all about those majors. But you can have a dominant season. There's only four majors. It's not like there's 20
yeah.
of them. There's only four of them. So it's like if you don't win a major, then your season is below subpar. But the guy's the winningest golfer on the tour this year by far. So I can't say that not winning a major is a disaster, but also it's just odd to me that Tiger Woods hasn't won a major in 5 years. It just seems like
hey, but will you
yesterday.
Take that $1.5 million he just put in his pocket for winning
yeah,
Bristol? Will you
but
take
you know,
that?
At Tiger's earning level, especially up until he had his whole thing with his ex-wife and whatever, his earning level and his winning level, it's really not about the money for him, right? It's really about 18 is the magic number. like De La Soul says, you know,
but,
the magic number.
Number.
So,
but guess what? He's also close
me.
To our boy, Sam Snead, for the all-time winning.
Right, and that's something to be proud of, too. Only at age 37, right? He's got, and I think Sam Snead was at this point at 47. Age 47.
Yeah,
so he's
incredible.
10 years ahead of that pace. So kudos to Tiger.
Yeah, and kudos to Casey Kane for winning at Poconos. It's his, I think, second win this year in the, you know, in the Sprint Cup and in the tournament. And, you know, for NASCAR, you know, my guy's Jimmy Johnson. But, I mean, give Casey Kane some credit. I mean, he's aggressive. I like the way he drives, you know. I mean, hey, I'm not going
to
sit here and lie.
Any relation to Big Daddy Kane?
Not related to Big Daddy Kane. He got an H in his cane. You know what I'm saying? I got an H in my cane, yo. So, you know, I'm not Sugar Kane. I'm not Big Daddy Kane. I'm Casey Kane.
Okay.
So congrats to him. You know, we got to give him some love. And then, hey, going around the NBA, the Miami Heat, Ray, they got Greg Oden for a two-year deal. That, to me, could potentially be very, very interesting. I thought that was a good signing. Obviously, you know, since every sport needs to chime in, right, since we've been talking about the suspensions, your boy Terrell Harris got suspended 5 games for drugs. And he's, he's with the Magic now. Had bounced around with the Heat, the Bucks, the Magic. I think he's with them. But it turns out that, you know, evidently 5 games out of 82 is, you know, I guess a decent suspension and, you know, drugs, and but not performance enhancing. So maybe his performance chilling. So that's sort of on the NBA front. And just quick note, I mean, obviously, you know, I think things that are kind of interesting, just like, you know, hearing LeBron James might try to become the president of the Players Association, which you don't normally get from the best player in the league, that type of maybe I would call it dedication. So I think that's kind of interesting how that'll pan out. And the Timberwolves are trying to re-sign Pekovic, so they're, you know, working on those negotiations. You got the Grizzlies trying to get Mo Williams. We'll see what happens with that. And the Knicks are in pursuit of the old sort of savvy point guard, Ray, Beno Udrich. So we'll see what happens with that in the Knicks, you know. And it continues.
Yeah, one quick note, in your neck of the woods, in Phoenix, right, shifting sports for a minute, the NHL has owned the Phoenix Coyotes for 4 years, and they finally have a deal. The deal fell through last year with a different set of buyers, so they're selling them to a group that's calling themselves Ice Arizona.
Yeah, baby.
Arizona.
Yo, listen, we had some snow out here this winter. I'm going to let you know we have some ice and some snow out here. So, and you know what? It's good for the Coyotes.
Okay, what's the temperature right now?
You don't want to know.
Is it in triple digits?
Wait. I'm going to give you the up-to-date in the Phoenix-Scottsdale area with Tempe Tri-State. It is actually 96 degrees.
Oh, my God.
Today's high was 103. Tomorrow will be 100 and then 105. So at a cool 96 degrees on August 5th, that's not too bad. But listen, you want to talk about some stuff, and I got to tell you, Patrick Peterson, you want to let's stay with Arizona. It's Bruce Arians has got a package of 10 to 15 plays where basically he's going to have Patrick Peterson playing wide receiver like a little Deion Sanders. So people better watch out, because I think Bruce Arians is going to be a great coach, and I think the Cardinals might surprise some teams this year. I truly do believe that. And, you know, as we spin around training camp, it's so sad to hear with the Packers. They lost their left tackle, Aaron Rodgers' right-hand man, Brian Bulaga. And he tore the ACL. Ray, it's like
all
these ACLs
guys, it's
with these guys.
It's an abridged season, or an abridged practice, I should say, and the players' union was pretty diligent in fighting for a shorter practice and shorter off season, or longer off season, shorter, you know,
right, more
OTAs
rest,
and that kind of stuff. But these guys are falling left and right, and we haven't even gotten into contact and into preseason, you know. So you hate to see it happen. It's obviously going to happen in football more than most sports, but Yeah, we'll get into this probably in the weeks to come, but just to plant the seed, how does this affect Aaron Rodgers? I mean, first there's real football. How does the Green Bay Packers season look now? Does that cost them a game or two? And then in fantasy, you know, are you less excited about Aaron Rodgers? Are you less excited about his receivers?
Well, you know, it's funny. They're also bringing in Vince Young for an audition with the Packers. So I think that's kind of interesting. They're like, hey, we want a legitimate backup just in case. Because they know that they pass the ball more than anybody. Even though they got some nice running backs in Franklin and our guy Eddie Lacy, maybe they plan on running it more. But, you know, that's a whole other thing. And, you know, before we even get into college football and the issue with Johnny Manziel, let's take a little time, man. Let's talk about the NFL. This weekend, the Hall of Fame, the ceremonies were incredible. You had 7 of the most deserving guys, I can honestly say. I mean, seeing and hearing the stories of Dave Robinson of the Packers, and, you know, I can remember, you know, obviously I wasn't around then, but I remember growing up, my father was a Packer fan and loved Lombardi, and the Packer championship run and all that, Dave Robinson, you know, an incredible linebacker who had a ton of interceptions, and then Curly Culp with the Chiefs. You know, it's great to see the tuna go in. His speech was incredible. Warren Sapp and Chris Carter, they hit you with the heart, with the emotions. I love Chris Carter. And he was like, Mama, sit down, because you're going in and you're a Hall of Famer. I was like, what? Yeah. Oh, man. I loved it. I don't know. Who was your favorite? Like, who's your favorite speech, or who really, you know, hit you?
I don't know that I had a favorite speech. I think what I liked is I took a little bit from every speech. So I really liked how these speeches, you know, every year you have different personalities up there. But I liked, for example, Chris Carter, how he let his emotions out. And he was so proud of what he had overcome. I liked how Warren Sapp talked about his wife, his ex-wife.
Yeah, his ex-wife. That was deep.
She helped him through, and she was there when he had, you know, bad days at practice, when he was physically, you know, not up to his own standards. Of course,
and that's
Bill
real
Parcells,
private, right? Because, like, only a husband and a wife will know, like, when you're a professional football player, and Dave Robinson said it best, because he was like, hey, my wife was, like, the only African-American woman in Wisconsin, in Green Bay at the time. And, you know, it's real deep. These wives have to just go from city to city. They have to raise the children, all these different things. So, yeah, nah, you're right about that. That was Sapp was great, giving his ex-wife some props.
Right. No, and so, like you said, I don't know that there's a class that you really can't argue with any of these guys. They're all Hall of Famers. You know, it's not a class where anybody was controversial. I mean, at some point we'll talk about the 2014 class. We were going to talk about it today, but obviously with baseball happening, we got to get into some baseball. But
yeah, I look forward to that class, though. I definitely look forward to that class. And I will say, to me, just real quick, Walter Jones and Derrick Brooks stand out to me as, like, first ballot Hall of Famers. I got to say
that. Yeah, for sure. I mean, those guys are definitely deserving. And then you have the guys that were up this
haven't
year
gone
and didn't
in.
Make it.
Yeah.
Strahan,
like
you got
boy,
Tim Brown, you got a few others.
Andre Reed, Jerome Bettis.
Jerome Bettis, yeah, sure. So
what's up with Johnny Manziel?
Oh.
Come on, I mean, let's, you know.
And you know me, I was all about Johnny Football in week 2. And I was talking about Johnny Football. I hate to say it, but this kid needs a big brother or somebody to just watch over him and to slap him into shape when he does something stupid. Because I'm all about being 20 and I'm all about having fun. But at the end of the day, you have 90 teammates in college and you have a full career to look forward to. So, again, it comes back to the same thing that we talk about for years. You have 15 years in professional sports at best. I mean, some guys go 20, but most guys go 5 to 10. 15 years to make your money, to set yourself up for life, to do your thing. You
forever? Forever, ever?
Forever,
ever?
Yeah, exactly. So you can't continually, you know, mess up. You need to have a whole lot of talent, and you need to have a whole lot to offer to continually be messing up and second chances and third chances. Because what happens if he gets suspended for any number of games? He's a quarterback, right? It's not like, we talked about this, it's not like A.J. Green, at Georgia gets suspended 4 games, or even, a wide receiver. You can work on your skills, you can work on your timing, it's still not the same. Quarterback, there's nothing that emulates a game, right? But you can throw the ball, you can go back and do drills, but there's game management, there's reading defenses, there's maturing, there's leadership, all that stuff. You can't mimic that in a season where you're off, or even 4 games or 8 games. So if Johnny Manziel gets suspended, what is he going to do, right? He's only going to hurt himself going into the NFL draft. The teams that had question marks are going to continue to have question marks, and they're going to leave him alone. The teams that were interested in him might not want to use a high pick, and they'll let him slide down. So I'm just saying, you're just costing yourself money. You're costing yourself opportunities. And really, for what? For what? The kid apparently
for autographs,
money.
For some money.
For autographs.
Yeah,
the kid isn't, coming from a situation where his parents don't have money. It's not like, he needs the money. So would you make a few $1,000 signing autographs?
Wait, and you know what's so funny about it? You can't have it both ways where you're like, yo, don't stress me. My family's got dough. I can afford to be courtside. And then the next minute be like, you know what? I'm tired of signing autographs for free. If I sign these, I need some dough. And here's like 999 of them, or, 99 of them, and they're all on eBay. And, I mean, it's like, dude, you have got to, and even his father, again, in the article, I guess with ESPN and magazine, kind of threw him under the mat. He was like, yo, this kid's out of control. And wow, that's like pretty like personal stuff to be like, yo.
Well, and especially
Dukes
after,
is like, yo.
And you can't even plead ignorance. I mean, especially after this whole event with Terrell Pryor and all the Ohio State guys. And
oh, yeah.
You got to know that this is some kind of rule violation. So,
right.
What were you thinking?
Know.
We need babysitters. I'm telling you, we need professional athlete babysitters, and this kid needs one of them. And now, having said all of that, I still come back to the fact that Johnny Manziel should not be in college. He doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, I know.
He's only there because the NFL says he has to be there. But this kid is not.
I know, but you know what though. See, and I think you shouldn't even say that.
It's just an observation.
No, I know, but you shouldn't even say it because this is the landscape of the rules. It's been like that since before he even went to Texas A&M and everything.
True.
In the grand scheme of things, yeah, you could say this for any athlete and for anybody, for whether it's college football or college basketball, professional sports, even with baseball, right? It's either go straight from high school or stay 3 years. Everybody's got their rules, so these guys all got to play by the rules and play by the games. And he's no special or more special than anybody else,
Agreed.
I don't even like to give him that leeway.
He should get the same punishment. He should get the same
that
punishment.
That A.J. Green and more, exactly, yeah.
That all these other guys got, A.J. Green, Terrell, whatever, whoever, Dez Bryant. I mean, that was different. I guess he was dealing with Deion and whatever. But whatever punishment is for, number 53 man on the team or 80, the 80th man on the team is the same punishment that the number one guy on the team should get.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of the coach
right.
doesn't want to hear it, but he should get the same punishment that every other athlete.
Hey, you know what? I got to ask you this. But enough of Johnny, right? Before we get to baseball, because we got the whole rest of the show to talk about baseball, I do want to say this to you, and I want to go back to football, because your Cowboys looked pretty decent. I'm only a Cowboy fan for our boy Kwame Ohene-Frimpong, rest in peace. I said, yo, Cowboys for Kwame. That's my hashtag this year. So I'm down with y'all to an extent for this season, okay, because I don't like the Cowboys. Everybody knows Taze the Steelers
fan.
We
don't need you.
Cowboys.
We don't need you on the bandwagon.
But
we'll
I know you don't need me, but I'm going to say this.
Wait.
First of all, two things, right? You won the Hall of Fame game. The Dolphins are messing with those jerseys. They're taking out the orange. Their jerseys look a mess. Lamar Miller, everybody's like talking about him for fantasy football. First play, he fumbles him and, the quarterback, Tannehill, whatever.
Tannehill, yeah.
But they charged the fumble to Miller. Lamar Miller got the fumble. But this is the thing I want to say to you. We have got to give some love to Marvin Harrison, because I think he will jump over Tim Brown for next year and Andre Reed. And I think with Wardell Jones and Derrick Brooks, I think Marvin Harrison's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer too.
That's
Peyton Manning's man. He was nasty.
What was it? That one year where Marvin Harrison caught 140 balls. You're like, what? 140.
And they were just
balls?
Talking about, you know, Chris Carter, 122, like back-to-back years. But, yeah,
twice,
140.
Yeah.
But what did he get? It was like 143, something crazy.
Yeah, I think it was 144, I think. He is – I mean, you think about this, and you're like, well, I don't even know how to put that in perspective. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And he was doing it on a high-powered offense. It's not like he was the only guy on that team. I mean, Edgerrin James was on that
Manning
team.
Threw it. Manning threw like Eddie, whoever's open.
But he wasn't just your possession receiver move the chains. You actually had to figure out where Marvin Harrison was at all times. So this guy was a combination of a big play receiver and a possession receiver move the chains. And the thing that Marvin doesn't get credit for is he didn't toot his own horn. So in some ways, you look at Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, and all these other guys who were his contemporaries, and, you know, they have different styles and obviously different builds and different, you know, physiques, and so they did different things. But if Marvin Harrison tooted his own horn, he'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm firmly convinced that if he's not, it's a case of the guy – just didn't make the noise that his other sort of prima donna wide receivers that grew up in his same era, right? He and Tim Brown.
Very much like Andre Johnson now. Wouldn't you say? Very much like Andre Johnson now. Andre Johnson, the last 10 years, has probably been top two or three with him, Fitzgerald, and some of these other guys, best wide receiver in football. People don't talk about Andre Johnson. He's been a beast. That's who he reminds me of, Marvin Harrison. I mean, different games, but I mean,
different
just in terms
games,
of the
yeah,
quiet,
sure. but not
quiet
all
persona,
quiet,
quiet persona,
quiet assassin,
yeah.
quiet killer.
The quiet
yeah, he's
killer.
Marvin Harrison. Yes, for sure. I mean, and if you young folks listening out there don't remember, you must be pretty young if you don't remember Marvin. But go back to those tapes. Go back to, you know, most of the guys now like Wes Welker and his slot game, and look at Marvin Harrison. Look at his impact on the game. Look at his precision. He used to get there hours before and just do those routes with Manning before the game.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, all
they do the route
track.
Tree, yeah.
These guys, wow. Look at Marvin Harrison and Peyton Manning as a duo.
Yeah. No,
that
it's
was,
a great – it's a potentially a big-time class because you got John Gruden, Tony Dungy – you know, some of the coaches you're talking about, besides Brooks and Walter Jones and Harrison, you got Rodney Harrison. You got Willis McGahee. I mean, Willis McGahee, he's on my mind. Somebody needs to sign him, by the way. Willie McGinnis, the linebacker from the Patriots. So,
Yep. You
know, it's going to be fascinating. But you know what? It's that time, man. It's
we
it's August
it
5th.
Well, we
August 5th, 2013, 3:23 p.m. Pacific, 6:23 p.m. Eastern, and Ray and Tay have got to officially say, Major
You're
League
suspended.
Baseball, you are suspended. First of all, I'll let you get into the list. I just want to say this. It's so bizarre that they're even giving him a sort of like a three days, right, because we all know, look, it's 13 guys, but everyone knows A-Rod's the number one guy. He's the guy with all the home runs, the fastest to 500, the fastest to 600, close to getting Willie Mays, almost the all-time leader in Grand Slams. You could say one of the best shortstop third basemen ever, you know, as we did the top five third baseman the other day. To me, it's not even official for him until August 8th, so he's in the lineup tonight, correct? Did they make it official that he's playing third base tonight? And
I don't know if
he's
in third, but he's in the
lineup.
Right,
but either way, he's in the lineup. I just find it so bizarre. So potentially, it's 211 games. And I bet you the arbitrator, they knock it down to just, you know, whatever the rest of the season and next season will be. I don't think we'll see A-Rod besides these last couple of days or whether the whole thing takes 20 to 25 days to hear the appeal. After that, I don't think you're going to see A-Rod again in Major League Baseball.
You don't?
That's no.
Like forever?
I don't. Forever. Forever.
Forever ever? Are you serious?
I mean, he'll be 40. He'll be 40, what, after the end of all of next season?
Yeah, but he has $65
You think he's
going
to try to come back?
Contract. I mean, unless Major League Baseball negotiates with the players' union to allow the Yankees to buy out his contract some hush-hush number, like a one-time payment of $50 million or something like that, A-Rod is going to
I think
fight.
The Yankees will want to buy him out, though. I don't think they want anything to do with A-Rod.
They don't want to, but wait a minute. A-Rod has $100 million left on that contract. Let's assume he's suspended today or Thursday for 211 games. That is some $35 million. So the Yankees are still on the hook for $65 million. If Major League Baseball said to, and it's collectively bargained, and it unless because Bud Selig didn't say we want to ban you for life. Bud Selig said, you know, you're a multiple offender, you broke the law, you hindered the investigation. But A-Rod can push back and say, wait a minute, I admitted to something years before the drugs testing program was in effect. I never failed a drug test. You got me on some, you know, canceled checks or whatever, whatever. But A-Rod, and I'm not sure that the collective bargaining agreement doesn't fit on A-Rod's side here. I don't think baseball can suspend him for life. So if they can't, the Yankees are on the hook. Yankees are on the hook for $100 million. So Yankees are happy if he gets suspended 211 games, but the Yankees are going to have to take him back in 2015 in the beginning of that season. So
yeah, nah,
the Yankees are going to have – I mean, like I said
– I just don't see him playing again. I don't. I think
why?
If you're an A-Rod fan, I think something's going to happen. Something will happen that he will not play again. I think these next 20 to 25 days of, you know, while it's being heard, the appeal, people better just go.
You think he'll be banned for life?
I don't know how it's
going to
play out. I'm telling you.
The only thing I can consider, this is like a little conspiracy theory, but the only thing I can consider is like an Albert Bell situation where A-Rod gets suspended for the indefinite future, or not for the indefinite future, let's say this year and next year, and that 211 after the appeals or whatever goes down to about 180, 190 games. And then mysteriously, out in like a training accident, A-Rod, you know, ruptures his ACL or something, and then the Yankees like buy him out of this contract under the
it's gonna happen.
Under the radar, and in the best interest of everybody, there are these, you know, secret clandestine negotiations between baseball, the Players Association.
But you know it's
going to
happen. Don't be naive. You know it's going to happen. He's not going to be back.
Okay.
They don't want him. And he won't even be that good anymore.
Nobody wants him. But the Players Union and $65 million tells me that he's not going to walk away. He's not just going to walk away, even if they put all the pressure in the world on him. He is stubborn, and all the things that made him a great player, he's not going to go away and leave $65 million on the table, even if he's suspended, and even if he loses $35 million.
I'll tell you this. Today, a lot of people need to send some letters of apologies to Jose Canseco, because he said it all years ago, broke it down, and told the truth. And people on ESPN, on all the different sport networks, a lot of people were like, oh, shut up, Jose Canseco. We don't want to hear it. You were a cheater. Why should we believe you? I can remember Mike and the Mad Dog, other people, everybody ripping him. And I can remember, I was like, you know what? I believe every word he's saying. And you know what's so funny about this? With these guys, with this list, it just so happens Double Jeopardy, Cabrera, not Cabrera, Melky and Bartolo Colon, they basically don't get suspended in this group with Nelson Cruz and other guys and Peralta because they were so ready, they were kind of already got their 50 games. But they could have easily got, you know, banned too.
Well,
I don't know. Why don't you give the audience the list? You got the list? I mean, because this is just a mess.
yeah, let's go through this. Let's go through this. So
two Yankees. Well, three Yankees with A-Rod.
Yes. So the Yankees are fully represented with three players on this list out of 13. Alex Rodriguez, third baseman. Francisco Cervelli, catcher. He's currently on the DL. And then you've got an outfielder in the minors, a kid by the name of Fernando Martinez. Not to be outdone, or not to finish with New York, the Mets have two representatives on this team. Jordani Valdespin, the outfielder. He's currently also in the minors. Oof, the list keeps going on and on. And the Mets have another outfielder, a kid named Cesar Puello. He's also in the minors right now. But keeping it going, we've got two guys that are in the playoff run. So you've got Nelson Cruz from Texas, and you've got Johnny Peralta from the Detroit Tigers, and Detroit was smart in getting themselves a backup shortstop. So all you
Iglesias,
fantasy,
yeah, they prepared
yeah,
for
Iglesias.
It.
Iglesias, all you fantasy guys out there, go pick up Iglesias. I mean, I have Johnny Peralta on my team, so I need to do that. Although our transaction deadline is gone past, so we'll have to figure out a way to get him on the squad. The other person who is, what do we have? We have another All Star, right? We've got one more All Star that was Everett Cabrera. From San Diego. So we have three current All-Stars. That would be Nelson Cruz, Everett Cabrera, and Johnny Peralta were suspended. And then finishing out the list, you have the Phillies reliever Antonio Bastardo. Well, I'll get to him in a sec. There was a tweet about him that I thought was pretty interesting.
Yes.
So we've got also Jesus Montero from the Mariners, the catcher. Another ex-Yankee. We've got Sergio Escalona, an Astros pitcher who's currently in the minors. We've got Faustino de los Santos, who's currently a free agent. And we've got a free agent pitcher. And then we've got Jordan Norberto, who's a free agent pitcher. But let me ask you this. Tell me what you think about the sentiment of the current day player, especially putting Antonio Bastardo, the tweet that he got. Now, maybe they're making a big deal of it because it's one guy, but I think this might have something to do with the changing mindset of the current Major League player. He got a tweet basically saying something to the effect of, it was a guy who had played in the minors and then played
yeah, Myers.
In the big... No, but I think he played in the show for a little bit.
Yeah, Myers. He played for a little bit.
I think it's minors. Yeah, Myers. But he was basically saying, you... Antonio Bastardo, basically robbed me of a job, and
mm-hmm.
you were cheating, and I was clean. So you took my money.
Took my money. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Right.
Hey, and you know what? More players need to be like that. You know, it's a shame. That's all you can say. It's a shame, and it's once the players step up and say that they are tired of it, then the game, you know, will probably be changed forever.
I agree and I disagree. I agree because the peer pressure is very strong, especially in baseball when you're with 25 guys for 6, 7, 8 months, depending on, you know, spring training and through the season. So you start in February, and if you're in the playoffs, you can go deep into October. So in some ways, I think that for the first time, it's not the owners, it's not Major League Baseball, it's the players themselves putting pressure and self-policing and maybe ostracizing people that were banned for 50 games or people that were on suspicion of steroids or people that you know are dope. Because you know, these players know, I got to imagine. They work out with each other, rumors get spread, they share doctors, they share trainers, you know what I mean?
Did you hear Nelson Cruz's response?
No.
Basically, that he got really sick from November to January and was worried about reporting to training camp. He lost 40 pounds because of an illness, and he made a mistake, and that's why he took the steroids. Basically, the dog ate my homework. And the guys on the ESPN were there were like, yeah, and the guys were like, hey, go to a real doctor.
Yeah. All that might be true, but it's still illegal. You know it's illegal, and baseball's putting the hammer down. So, and what's interesting enough, it happened to a lot of these guys leading up to their free agent season. Very interesting. But so your point of you think it's going to go away, but so I agree that we're getting close.
No, I'm not saying people won't stop cheating. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying people will stop cheating.
Well, you got the self-policing, but then you've got – I'm just going to give you some numbers. Ryan Braun, $114 million left on his contract. Alex Rodriguez, $65 million left on his contract. Melky Cabrera – see, the perfect example to me is Melky Cabrera. He still after he got caught, he still signed a decent contract. But let's say he was
And so did a lot of guys that were on that report, the list from years ago, the who was the guy with the name?
The Mitchell Report?
The Mitchell Report, exactly. Tons of those guys still got other contracts.
Yeah, and 103 names that Alex Rodriguez was on that list. Remember, there was 104 names, and A-Rod was leaked, and 103 other people were on that same list, and that wasn't leaked. But here's where I think that the ultimate hammer comes down when you can void a contract. Now, it's a slippery slope because you could have a false positive, or you could have, you know, a debated result. So you'd hate to eliminate a guy's chance to earn his living. But the problem is, and this is where I said I agree and I disagree. This is the disagree part. There is so much money at stake that why wouldn't he? If you're not going to take my salary away, only for 50 games. But if Melky Cabrera had signed before he was caught, he was in a free agent season, so if he played hardball at the halfway point with the Giants and said, you know what, I need a new contract, I'm gonna dog it for the rest of the season. Yeah, he would have been potentially, you know, persona non grata in San Francisco. But suppose he had signed that contract, and let's say it was $12-13 million a year for 5 or 6 years. Okay, so that would have been, let's say, 6 years at $12 million, $72 million contract. You get suspended for 50 games, no big deal. I know that I have $65, $70 million waiting for me on the other end. So until the baseball owners, and again, I'm usually not pro-owner, but until the baseball owners can void these contracts, definitely after two strikes, but even potentially after one strike, you got to be able to have repercussions from this, because it still makes sense. Having said all of that, it still makes sense to cheat, because you can make the big money, and then you can have the lawyers to fight like A-Rod's about to do, and you can have all this money. Mm-hmm. It's guaranteed. It's waiting for you on the other side.
And at the end of the day, they're like, oh, wow, my name was tarnished, you know, but who really cares?
$114 in the bank.
I got $100 million in the bank. You're right.
I'll get over it.
It's disgusting.
I'll get over it.
But let me tell you something. It's disgusting, and guess what? A-Rod's name is forever, forever destroyed in sports, in baseball history. He'll never see the Hall of Fame. He's done, period.
With $100 million waiting for him, too. So he may be done, but he'll be done on an island in the Caribbean with his $100 million that's still waiting for him. Look, I'm saying that's the real hammer. If you
let me ask you this. How stupid does baseball look when this all goes down and you still, let's say you're right, A-Rod does come back and play in 2 years or a year and a half, and Braun's playing, Melky's playing. I mean, to me, if I'm a fan, I'm talking to my 13-year-old son about this, and he was like, hey, Dad, you know, it's kind of hard to believe that anybody's clean. And I said, you know, son, I was like, you know, my big boy Elijah, it's like, I'm trying to tell him, I was like, you're right, because it is hard to know if Chris Davis is clean. I'd like to think he is. I'd like to think some of these other, you know, home run hitters and some of these great players like Robinson, Cano, you'd like to think that they're all clean, but I just don't know. I don't know.
I think that's what's changed, is you can never say without a doubt that somebody's clean. And it's terrible. You know, people. The perfect example is Derek Jeter. Everybody was like, oh, Derek Jeter, he couldn't be clean. He couldn't be, you know, dirty. If he's dirty, then I'm devastated, and the whole world, you know, what the light that I see baseball in will be. I can't tell you that Derek Jeter didn't do steroids. Why not? I'm not saying he did it. I don't want to start rumors.
Yeah.
But you know what?
No.
Nobody's beyond.
You could just say, hey, look, he never seemed like he bulked up super strong. He never was a home run hitter. But guess what? He's having these breakdowns and injuries. But is it just because he's old? Sort of like Griffey.
Yeah.
See, I look at Jeter and Griffey, like, to me, I look at it like they're getting old and they're breaking down like normal players
do. That's normal.
It's not normal to be like, what, 13-3 at the All-Star break like Bartolo Colon, who already has been caught with steroids and he's like 40, pitching like he's 23. That's not normal. Frustrating.
Roger Clemens winning his 7 Cy Youngs.
Hey, all these guys. But the one thing I still will always say, and you know I'm going to go there, right? Because, I mean, I still, like Nelson Cruz said, I feel like Andy Pettit belongs with Nelson Cruz. I don't want to hear, like, oh, you only did HGH for 2 or 3 days. That's BS. I don't want to hear that from Andy Pettit, and I love Andy. And at least he tried to come out and get in front of it, so he's gotten some more, you know, like, respect or, I don't know, something from the fans. Andy gets a little pass, even though he shouldn't. But I will say this. As far as I could tell as a fan and paying attention, I will always say, to me, Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds were Hall of Famers before they started cheating. And that's all I know. They're the two of the best players that we've seen in our lifetime growing up, two of the best players of all time. I don't know about A-Rod now because he could have been cheating just to get signed with the Mariners. Who knows? But I'll tell you this, Bonds and Clemens, you saw when everything changed for them as they were getting older. You saw them dip down and then dip back up. And so to me, I would put those two in the hall. That's the only two. That's it.
But see,
Tay for two. My fantasy basketball team. Tay for two.
I don't disagree with the fact that they look like they weren't using steroids before. But why can't you make the same argument for A-Rod? I mean, I that's what I'm saying. This whole era is
But he admitted to cheating a long time ago. He said him and his cousin were doing it a long time ago.
Yeah.
So when was that long time ago? Before Texas? After Texas?
I don't know. And this
he's done it ever since 2009, as far as we know, with this whole drama and this stuff with Bosch, since he got caught in 2009. And
that's the part I don't understand. You have your money.
Why do it again?
You're locked
like,
in. You have your money, and you were caught before. So, you know, I can almost get it. The kid who wants to make a living for his parents, he's not good enough to you know, be on a major league roster, so he tries to juice up, and he's like, all right, I need this to get to that next level, to get that contract, to get my family set for life. But A-Rod, I guess – this is the thing about these elite athletes, is that the same competitive juices that drove you to be the man at 17 and be able to go play football at the University of Miami or baseball at the University of Miami, which probably means you could have been a pro in either sport. The same competitive juices and fires are the same ones that...
Yeah, they said A-Rod was one of the best athletes they saw coming up.
Yeah. After you've already won a championship, or you're on the path to a championship, I don't know if he did it during the 2009 season when the Yankees won the World Series, but the guy is set for life, right? So it's not like he's not going to make these $27 million a year every year for the next 10 years. So what are you doing? I guess he wants to stay competitive, and he wants to be known for the back half of his career as being the best baseball player ever, or the best home run hitter ever, or the best all-around baseball player ever, and I guess it's admirable that he has that desire. It's just the way he executed it was to use steroids.
Well, you know, it's so funny. I think he was like, I want to be sort of, because he was baseball's darling, I want to be, oh, I'm clean, I'm not Bonds, I'm going to break the record as a Yankee and I'll be clean, and I was a great teammate, I moved to third base, you know, all this stuff, and it's like it's all turned into mush. The hot garbage.
That's a
trash.
Nice way to say it. That's a nice way to say it. I like that. We're PG. You know, we're PG on Rayante.
Yeah. Except for some of the callers. We've had some callers slip up, but that's all right. We still love it. But, yes, we are PG. And, you know, I don't know what to say. You know, I'm almost to the point where I just, hey, can we talk about Pirates? Can we talk about let's look at the standings. Let's talk about some baseball for real, some positive baseball, because at the end of the day, you hope like these young stars like Yasiel Puig is clean. You got Brandon Phillips, maybe Chris Davis. You know, you've got some great young, I wish my man Johnny Cueto would come back because he's on my team from the DL, my pitcher from the Reds. But, we've got some great races. How great are the Braves? They go through all those injuries, and they're still ripping baseball up, Ray. I mean, you couldn't have predicted this. I mean,
we both predicted them to make the playoffs. But
we both thought
that the Nationals would do their thing. I thought the Nationals would be close to 100 wins. But, yeah, you know, the Atlanta Braves and St. Louis, I just got to give them, the organizations of the decade or of the millennium or whatever,
mm-hmm.
because they are in, not huge markets. Certainly St. Louis is not. Atlanta's a bigger market. But they consistently win, and they don't do it with the payroll of the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Mets. And these guys are just a model of consistency from the Sheerholz era to the current era in Atlanta and then Walt Jockety in St. Louis and let alone what they did, in the 60s and 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
But these guys are just, these are franchises that are unbelievable.
Got to give a shout out to Dale Murphy and Bob Horner for the old Braves there, Hey, listen, the Braves have won 10 in a row. I mean, they're playing ball.
Yeah, they are. That National League, there's some good teams in that National League. You've got Atlanta, Pittsburgh, and St. Louis. And then don't forget about Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, they're not done with.
Right.
Especially if Cueto comes back.
It's funny because those four teams are pretty good, and maybe the Dodgers. And I guess Arizona is the only other team above 500. So the National League has four or five good teams, and the rest of the teams are garbage. They're all under 500. If I look at it, 15 teams, they only have five teams over 500.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it kind of shows you that interleague, which is so major this year for the first time. Right, 16. It shows you for the first time with more interleague play, the AL is kind of dominating. I mean, look at, you've got the Red Sox, you've got the Oakland A's, the Tampa Bay Rays, you've got the Tigers, Indians are still playing good ball. Even the Yankees are above 500. I mean, it's there are a lot of. I know, the Yankees haven't done anything all season, and still fighting. You got to give them a lot of credit for that. I mean, to me though, I just wonder, like in Detroit, how pissed are they at Peralta, right? Or even in Texas with Cruz, because these are two teams that are really in the hunt for a World Series. The Tigers and Rangers, you could say the last 5 years have been two of the best teams in baseball and in the American League. And, they're both going for it this year.
When was this activity supposed to have happened?
I'm guessing in the last year to two.
Okay. All right. So,
because I think when they said Cruz said he was sick, it was the end of 11 going into 12. No, into the season before, I think.
Okay.
I'd have to double check the dates, but I thought it was November to January going into the 2012 season. So not this past season, the season before.
I tell you what, and I had this discussion with one of our callers, Miami Dolphins fan, Big Hank. Apparently, and he was getting on baseball for not coming out sooner. I tell you what, baseball got their ducks in order, and baseball went out and you know what? And that's the other thing we were talking about a little bit a couple shows ago. When you're talking about performance-enhancing drugs and you're talking about some seedy activity, you're not going to have the most reputable witnesses. You're not going to have the squeaky, cleanest people.
No.
So you're getting your hands
dirty.
There's
no way
possible. You're investigating.
Yeah.
Yeah, but apparently
it was a dirty investigation.
So
let's be honest.
Strong.
Let's be real. It was a dirty investigation. They're going
to
nightclubs. They're trying to find out where Bosch is hanging out. I mean, but
they got
but guess
real
what?
Dirty. But you know what?
Sometimes
they
you have
felt
to.
Felt like they had to do it. They felt like they had to do it. And the compelling evidence must be so strong because 12
out of 13.
These guys
aren't even saying nothing.
Oh, plus Ryan Braun. So 13 out of 14 took it and didn't say anything. And they're like, okay, not a peep out of them.
Not a peep.
Now, A-Rod has $100 million at stake, and A-Rod probably, you know, has the most financial resources, so he can have a cadre of lawyers on his behalf. But those other guys, not a peep. And three of them are all-stars. Two of them are in serious playoff contention, Peralta and Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
So you could argue
yeah.
if they wanted to really, really play this year, they could have fought it, dragged it out, and all you got to do is drag it out till October and then serve your suspension next year. But
apparently
the evidence was so strong, and the hammer that C-League was about to put down on them was so strong that they had to. They had to take it.
Hey, you know what I want to say this, though? Going back to sort of just the game, and you mentioned them, but give the Dodgers some credit. Remember we were talking about the All-Star break? They were in second place. They were like a half a game, game and a half back. Well, they're 5.5 up on the D-backs now. The D-backs are 56 and 55. The Dodgers have been playing amazing baseball, 61 and 49. And that is even more of the reason, you know, they're 8-2 in their last 10 of why and 4 in a row. The young kid, Puig, should have been in the All-Star game because he's really been huge. Still batting, what, over 400 and just leading the team in so many ways. He's been huge in them sort of turning it around and the momentum, and also your boy Clayton Kershaw or whatever. Kershaw.
Lefty.
Doing his big lefty, doing his thing. And guess what? He's also the best sacrifice, you know, pitcher hitting, doing sacrifice hits to advance runners. You know, he did that in the Yankee game when they were playing a couple of series ago. But, I mean,
so, you know what?
You know,
Yasiel Puig,
just give
the
them
thing
props.
Is, he's calmed down a little bit from that 400 pace, right? He's only quote-unquote, batting 376. But,
yeah.
You know, 11 homers, 25 RBIs, you know, he's a little out of control, but he's exactly what they needed because they were a collection of stars and they were a collection of enormous mambo contracts who were just chilling in L.A.,
mm-hmm.
having a good time. And yeah. I know that Magic was pulling his hair out. Like, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
We have the same talent. We have the same talent in L.A. in the 80s in Showtime in basketball, but we were still hungry.
We tried to win every game.
Yeah.
No, you're right. That's a good point.
That's the thing, and people don't understand this about sports, is that you can have the talent and you can have everything on paper, but you still have to do it on the field. You still have to execute, and little things make a big difference. Right? Like energy plays, a guy running into the wall, a guy stealing a base. I mean, you would think
all
that
the
all the talent. Yeah. And it's amazing in team sports how little things mean a lot. It's not just go out and get the best players and you're automatically going to win. So,
and, you know, momentum in baseball is one of the biggest things. We see it in the playoffs all the time. Look at what the Giants last year. The Giants, by the way, are getting, what are they, like 12 back in last place? The Giants are playing horrible baseball right now. But momentum is the biggest thing.
Yeah, that's true. And the team we talked about last week, speaking of momentum, the Tampa Bay Rays. Nobody wants to see them in the playoffs.
Yeah. Give the Orioles credit. They haven't disappeared, but it looks like the Rays and Red Sox, I think they're going to go down to the wire. The AL East this year, I mean, hey, we'll be talking football like crazy in college football, but the last month, you know, of baseball, September, it's going to be a dogfight. AL East and
AL Central,
NL Central.
Right? Detroit, Cleveland,
yeah.
and my Kansas City Royals. They probably don't have enough
and the NL Central.
But they've won 9 out of 10. The problem for the Royals, you're thinking, oh, great, they've won 9 out of 10. They haven't made up any games because Detroit and Cleveland have also won 9 out of 10. So how, you know,
that's
if you're in
yeah.
Kansas City thinking we're a small market team, we brought over James Shields, we've got our number one starter, we're really, really under budget, under man, trying to make it happen with, you know, Alex Gordon and Moustakas and this team. Perez, their catcher, gets hurt. but they're still scrapping and they're still winning. And they win 9 out of 10. Don't make up a game on Detroit or Cleveland. That's got to be devastating.
That's incredible.
I mean, you really have to run some, you know, some old psychology on them, because you could literally think, oh, my God, the first week in August, the glass is half empty. I mean, we did all we could, and we couldn't get back into that, you know, into that division race. So they're still on the outside looking in. But that AL Central is going to be tough. The AL East, obviously, with Boston, Tampa Bay, and maybe Baltimore, that'll be a tough one. And of course, Oakland and Texas, you know, only 2.5 games separate those two. So great races, especially in the American League.
Hey, let me ask you this. We got to sum this up before the show ends. Two things. If you're in the stadium tonight, do the White Sox fans turn their back, as has been rumored, to A-Rod when he comes up to bat, each time he comes up to bat? Do they turn their back to him?
Wow.
Do they boo? You know what I mean? You know what would be even doper? If they turned their back and said nothing. No boos, just everybody, the whole stadium, turned their back.
You know what?
That's one.
That would mean more. Because A-Rod's been booed. Great players get booed, right? I'm sure
everybody gets booed on the road.
Right, exactly.
But I think it's deeper, the silence and turning their backs.
Yes,
that's number one.
Much deeper.
But this is something for you and for me, for Ray and Tay, for Tare Side, and for Eric Taylor, as Yankee fans who have cheered for A-Rod, who were so happy he won the MVP, who helped, you know, had a great World Series and helped us get a ring. How do we deal with A-Rod playing the next 20 to 25 days or next 20 games? What do we do? What do we say? Do we cheer? Are we glad if we go on a 5-game win streak and A-Rod contributes? Are we sort of like, we won, but we won dirty? Like, do we just wash our hands with him?
It's a great question, and he's in an era. So one thing I will do is come to A-Rod's defense and say he's not the only one. So let's not make it seem like it's the A-Rod using performance-enhancing drugs, deal.
And nobody
it's
else,
baseball.
Yeah.
Baseball's dealing with
this.
And it's every single team is dealing with this, and every single team promoted it and looked the other way. So let's not say this is only A-Rod. Having said that, A-Rod's obviously the lightning pole. But for a guy to have done it once and then to have done it again, that's the part that might be the straw that breaks the camel's back. I mean, once and you're embarrassed and it leaked and you're covering it up and, you know, you did it.
Yeah.
And you did it over a prolonged period of time. It's not like you did it once. But then you're working with charities, right? That press conference that he had.
The charities
with the kids.
Yeah,
and
they said,
and this
wash
is what
your
I
hands
want to do
them,
and be a clean life and this, that, and the other. And then to do it again, really? I'll never be able to look at him the same way. And, you know.
But that's why I said
we're grown.
Done.
And
he's
I think
so
more
done,
for the kids,
yeah.
Like you said, for your
yeah.
son.
Oh, yeah. My son, Elijah, loved A-Rod. He was so happy when the Yankees won a couple of years ago.
In 2009, can you believe that was 4 seasons ago, when they beat the Phillies, when he had that home run in the rain.
It was incredible.
That opposite field home run at Citizens
Remember?
Bank Park.
Can I tell you how many times that we all said, an A-Bob from A-Rod? I mean, we were like, yo, this guy's so clutch.
What's John Sterling going to say?
Yeah, give John Sterling some love. But listen,
shout out to Susan Wallman and John Sterling, the Yankees radio team. Oh, all right. I don't know. You know what? It's uncharted territory. And we've seen everything in 40 years in sports. Except this, right? We really haven't seen this. I mean,
and listen, he's the biggest name to be suspended in baseball history. He's the biggest.
Yeah,
name.
I mean, there'll never be anybody bigger than he, right? 3-time All-Star.
No.
I mean, unless you're going to suspend Babe Ruth posthumously.
3-time MVP, yeah.
3-time MVP.
No, you're right. You're
and,
right.
And won himself a World Series. No. Yeah, well. I don't know. We're going to have to figure out how to place him in history. We're going to have to figure out how to look at him and what lens to use to see all of these guys in this era.
Yeah. Well, look, we had a great show.
went around, talked about everything under the sun. Ray and Tay, give it to you, Riggy Riggy Raw, like ODB, baby. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. So thanks for listening. We'll be back Monday. We'll see. We'll be back next week. And we might be getting into some college football talk. I think it's that time, Ray.
We're ready.
Yeah. All right. Listen, thanks for listening. Have a great week, and thanks for talking sports with friends.
We're out.
He'll deliver more justice in a weekend than 10 years of your courts and tribunals. Just stay out of his way. He's about to paint his masterpiece.
Red one, check it crazy. Yo, I thank God, my mom, my dad, my sisters, my brothers, my family, my true friends.